Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
Yeah. Sure. Well, so something that I wanted to talk about was actually how you and I connected, because it's kind of crazy because so about like, I think it was a month ago now, maybe two, but I was meditating one morning and I got this image in my head of like a cartoon. And then I got like a sense of positive head. Like I was kind of envisioning positive head and a cartoon about positive head. And I came out of that meditation and immediately like went to the Facebook group and wrote, does anybody in here illustrate or draw? And I was surprised because like only a couple people responded and they were artists and they were great. But it was like I had this specific idea in my head of like something that I saw. And I was like pretty sure that somebody in the group would satisfy that image. And then like a few days went by and like no one else commented on it. And all of a sudden, then like a few days later, suddenly, I don't know how you got connected to that post, or how, I don't know if someone else tagged you or you just saw it, but suddenly you were like, oh yeah, hey, I'm here. Like, sorry, I missed this. Yeah, I am. And I do. And I looked at your stuff, and not only did I realize, first of all, that you and your style was exactly what I had imagined in my head when I was meditating, but also I realized that, you know, I did social media for Positive Head for a little while before Mike took over, and I had posted some of your pieces, which I had no idea that like you were actually in the group and a listener, and I was just like finding this stuff randomly online. And so I was like, whoa. So we got on the phone, and as soon as we got on the phone, it was like, oh, this is magic, because this guy's personality is like off the charts awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I just do. I just chime in every now and then when you say something good. Good, I go, yes.
Yay. So we talked, and Brandon, I haven't even talked to Brandon about this yet. So, hey, Brandon, if you're listening, this is our idea. And listeners, this is our idea. But
yeah, we come in peace, which actually I don't really remember how it went down, but I might have seen the post and not said anything about it, because I've got not in a terrible bad way, but maybe in a way that we all do. But I've got that voice in my head and the low self-esteem thing, like, they probably don't want me. They probably want something different. So I don't even try. I do try a lot, but I swing back and forth between it. And I think a lot of the listeners in this group, like, I don't think we end up at Positive Head Podcast if your life is going super great. I think you need to be experiencing some heavy contrast to get involved with Ram Dass or Positive Head Podcast or Eckhart Tolle. And we see it in the in the post, it's like not very often. It's like, hey guys, everything's going great. It's very often like, hey friends, hey P-head family, I just wanted to let you know I love you and I could use a little bit of extra love and light this weekend. It's getting pretty dark in here. You could give me some light. That'd be great. And I think that's what's that's helped form it. Like, we wouldn't have all come together had there not been bad things going on in our lives and stuff.
Totally. It just shows you, for anyone going through anything bad, it's like, it's not really bad. I mean, it's bad on the surface maybe, but ultimately it's driving you towards something so much better, you know, and it really, like, truly. Sure. So,
every moment cannot be like, each individual moment can't be bad. Like, if you slice it thin enough, even if you're being surgeried on, not that I can speak to it to that level, but if you just divide the moment into as small of granularity at all, it's just like, oh, it's cool. It's just a big configuration of atoms and electric fields. It's cool. But when we start digesting, like, oh man, this whole week is going to be bad because of this and this and this, then when you're trying to ingest a whole week into one moment, then you can make it this whole fear circus. But if you're just like, this moment, this moment, this moment,
fear,
this moment, this
circus. Wow, what a term. I love that.
It's a circus. There's so many shows going on, so many things demanding your attention, so many carnies trying to, no offense to, or whatever, I'll offend some people. I'll just pick carnies as one of them. Like, carnies trying to take your money or something. But they're good too. Their souls playing out through this. Did you ever hear, who was it? I think it was Aubrey Marcus, who's the Onnit guy and affiliated with he's his own person, not just Joe Rogan, but I think he's of the Joe Rogan family of people. But basically, he's really big into ayahuasca and, he's warrior poet and tells these stories. And he had some story of his last ayahuasca journey of seeing the face of, I guess, darkness, of resistance, of whatever you want to call that, the devil,
the down.
Yeah,
I think I saw this exact clip.
Yeah, he's a part of, like, that entity is part of the light, and it's playing that role of the bad guy, much like a wrestler would, or an actor that you hate. Like in Game of Thrones, like, everyone hates Joffrey. If you saw Joffrey on the street, even though it's just an actor, you're like, oh, I hate that guy. And so that force has taken that position, and so he felt immense gratitude, like, oh, thank you for taking that role of being the darkness, and behind it, it's not actually that, but also that voice was saying, like, but I'm playing for keeps though. I am playing, but I'm playing for keeps. So don't mess around with me. Right. I thought that was interesting, that behind it all, it's all the light, even though there's that light that's playing the heavy darkness.
It's like the Wizard of Oz, you know, it's like behind the wizard, you know, in the movie when the Wizard of Oz is like this big, like, it's like played up the whole movie, and then they go and it's this tiny little guy behind a screen, basically, like, being the voice of Oz.
Yeah.
And it's like it's such a metaphor for, you know, I never really, there's so many movies that are just such a meta. I mean, Star Wars, oh my God, such a metaphor for life. It's like for like what we're going through right now with the light and the dark. And I just, it's crazy. But yeah, I actually saw that exact clip a piece of that exact interview I think you're talking about. And what I saw that guy say was that when he was having his ayahuasca trip, he was like having good, He suddenly started thinking bad thoughts. Like, he got anxiety while it was happening. And suddenly he said he saw blackness covering everything, wrapping around everything, like black, inky, some form, like just kind of covering everything and constricting everything. And then he told himself to calm down. And as he calmed down, that stuff went away. And then he started to say, okay, like, focus positively. And as he focused positively, he said everything bloomed around him. He saw literally everything start growing, flowers and beauty. And he was saying that he really actually was shown the actual structure of our thoughts, like what our thoughts are creating. And it's like, it's really amazing to have that visual of, like, oh, you're literally, even if you can't see it, that's actually what's happening. Like,
yeah.
You're putting poison into the air. You're putting beauty into the environment. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's such a simple lesson, but oh man, is it tough to stay on those, train tracks or whatever analogy works for that. But we know that, if you're spending your time in the part of you that nobody else sees, the imagination, which is a big part of us, that, circus that goes in on our head, the whole story we tell ourselves is such a big all of our life, and no one really sees the story we tell ourselves. They might see part of it if they're close, but the whole story, that's kept to you, and so much of it is spent funding these little short films of how you're just garbage and how you can't. And occasionally we go for the can, but then if we're met with a little bit of resistance, negative feedback, then it's like, oh, I was right, I can't, so I'm going to stay as a can't person.
Yeah, but you can make it.
We've seen it as like Oprah, and I don't know if Oprah was the person that made The Secret popular, but that's not easy to do what Oprah did. Like, there might be something to that, you know?
Oh, totally. I had this kind of profound realization today, talking about law of attraction, speaking of law of attraction, you know, Abraham Hicks always talks about focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. Because if you focus on what you want, then you're creating what you want. If you focus on what you don't want, you're creating that too, right? But something that was said today, I think it was something that Brandon read on the podcast today. Something really provoked my mind today. It made me...
Was it the illness episode?
No. He was reading from Oneness, and it was talking about how structures will, you know, structures are going to fall that don't fit with the new vibration of the planet as we ascend, right? And suddenly something clicked in my head, and I remembered, you know, listening to Abraham and always talking about, you know, what you focus on appreciates, and what you turn your face, what you turn your attention away from dissipates, right? And suddenly I'm like, oh wow, I just had this image of like our structures that don't apply to this new perception of who we are, these rigid, old, dark structures like the government and the money system and all this stuff that is such an old perspective based in fear, right? I realize I'm like, oh, it's so simple, like you're saying, but it's like, oh, if we just don't give that any more energy, it literally will crumble because it doesn't apply here anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it literally will disintegrate because whatever we give our attention to, it gives it more life. And I know it just sounds like I'm repeating what what Abraham's always saying, but for some reason it became so literal to me today. I was like, oh, just don't think about it anymore. There's no reason to, like, just think about what's coming, and that will be, you know, that will be propelled.
Yeah,
whereas if I turn...
There oftentimes in meditation, you hear that it's about trying to make your thoughts stop or making the mind stop. And to visit the, you know, the great Sadhguru again, he responds to this question by saying like, oh, well, I have a meditation that will make your heart stop. Would you like me to tell it to you? And everyone's like, no, of course not. Oh, I've got a meditation that makes your kidney stop. Would you like that? Oh, then why would you want one to make the brain stop? Like, it's an organ, it's doing what it's supposed to, it's really helpful, and you never have to really pay attention to your heart or kidney. But for some reason the mind has become this big problem that we can't get a hold on. It's running amok, and so you have to develop the relationship where the mind is a tool that you use and not something that you're a slave to. And he said that, you know, if my hand were to just be constantly moving around and just shaking and stuff, I'd have a bad hand, you know, but my hand can just sit here quiet for most of the time, but then I need it to pick something up. I can use my hand, and it's about developing that relationship with the mind. Like, you can use it when you want, but other times don't. And that's, it really is the like cigarettes of now. I think we're going to look back on this era of humanity. Can you believe that people lived like that? The same way that if you look at Mad Men or something, there's cigarettes indoors at all times and everything is just smoke, and diet was terrible, and running was seen as like you're a fruit if you run. Like, who runs? And then running becomes normal.
Yeah.
And then yoga is seen as something like, oh, you're kind of hippy dippy if you do yoga. But now there's yoga studios open up everywhere. It's slowly becoming more and more mainstream. And not that you should have to just do it to be cool or accepted, but I think it's good to be Phoebe, you know, and friends. Phoebe's a good character. Why wouldn't you want to be Phoebe? You want to be Ross?
She's,
you want to be
best.
Joey? No, be Phoebe.
You know, that needs to be a shirt. Be Phoebe. You know, it's that's so funny you say that, because so I have a cousin who is like my little sister. Her name's Emily. And she's 6 years younger than me. And the funny thing about her is she like came into this world a spiritual being. Like, she
like
came
Bradley
into this
Beekman.
World as like when she was like,
Yeah, I haven't met him yet, but you know, he shares this stuff, so I think it's okay to a certain level. Like, don't go.
Does he? I've only seen him on Instagram.
See Brandon and his family outside. He's a cutie. You know, you don't have to go being annoying or something like that. But just, I'm fascinated with this character who is like, "Hello, I'm Bradley. Nice to meet you." When he's like 6 months old, and it's like, "Oh, would you like some?" Yeah,
it's Brent. Brandon's little offspring. Yeah, no, it's the way he talks about him as well. Totally. But yeah, Emily was always like really into all of this stuff way before I was into it. Like, I'm talking like 20 something years when she was like a little, you know, whatever. She was
Were you accepting this stuff always? Because I used to scoff at it a little bit. No, I'll admit it. Like, when something became a little too woo, I'd be like, oh, yeah, come on. It's not that woo.
Oh, totally. But I don't even think I had the presence of mind to like scoff at it. I was just kind of like, I just kind of ignored it. Like, even when she would bring things up, I would just kind of be like, it just didn't register with me at all. It wasn't on my wavelength. I like couldn't hear it type of thing.
What are some examples of what she was into or what she understood?
Like, she was always into Gabrielle Bernstein, who's like, she was into Oprah and all Oprah's like super soul stuff, like when she was 12 or 11. I mean, she was always
That's super young.
She was always reading all that stuff and like into that stuff when she was like that age. And so then as she's grown up, and the other thing is she's been really, she's kind of tuned out a little bit to like this world, you know. She's always kind of like in her own world, and over time, slowly, after going through school and college, and now she's in a traditional job. Actually, she works at the company my boyfriend works for. It's very corporate, and over time she's slowly kind of tuned in to this 3D world. And what I've come to realize is I've been like tuning out, meaning tuning more into myself.
Yeah.
And now I've always judged her. Like, where are you? Like, what are you thinking about? Like, how do you not know this movie? How do you not know these things that we all know? Yeah. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And I realize now, oh, whenever things came up that weren't good vibes, she literally was like, bye. And she tuned out and she was in her own world. And now it's so interesting because she's been trained slowly to tune into this world. And I've been tuning out of this world and back towards myself. So it's been this really interesting dynamic. And anyway, it just reminded me of Phoebe, like you were talking about. Like, I realized, I'm like, oh, I should have been listening to you the whole time. You were setting the example. I should have really been like, following you. Like,
yeah,
you know,
everyone's
like,
got a piece of it. You gain more if you just take in that everyone could be offering you something very important, and not even about like, oh, what can I get from this person? But yeah, if you actually listen, you'll find out some really interesting stuff rather than thinking about what you're going to say. A lot of people with social anxiety, they approach going out thinking like, oh no, what am I going to say when I get there? What am I going to do? And that's just the worst way you can think about it. Don't think about what you're going to say. Just be there and listen, and people are going to like you more, and you'll learn more about them. Mm-hmm. They'll ask you questions that then you can respond to easily in that moment, rather than thinking of a perfect script of how a perfect social interaction can play out over the course of whatever evening you're going into.
Because I had massive social anxiety, and that's the truest thing ever. Every time I would play, I would like pre-plan it in my head, and then I would actually say those things or whatever. It turned out horribly. It was like dead air. It's like, and that's, you know, you're like a perfect example of, you're just kind of like flowing it, right? Like, you're just kind of, every time I talk to you, you're just kind of like broadcasting. Like, you're just kind of feeling it and putting it out like naturally, like what you're feeling, you're radiating it out.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to always be, especially on recorded stuff like this, like we're both aware that more than just you and I are listening to this right now. So if you and I were to just sit across from sit across from each other for coffee or something, there would be more probably space. There would be more time just spent like, yeah, that's funny, isn't it? And then we'd probably let like 5 seconds go by and then more talk. But I think in general, I do, I'm more of a talk, I just lost it there. As I was thinking about what the thing I am, I can't do it. I have to just let it be inside of the thing. Oh, but back to that point, like, though, that you said that you were gravitating more towards the non-physical, and I was gravitating, or that your niece was gravitating towards
my cousin.
Cousin was gravitating towards the physical, and just learning about that right now. Like, I just had this realization this morning and I wrote it down, and it's a total synchronicity of what we're talking about. It was going to be an image I make, or some of these I just don't even make images. I just write it down and then it just goes and lives on a post-it somewhere. But I'm not afraid of being a non-physical being. I've invested all this time thinking about, you know, dead people, what happens after you die, and just the non-physical. And I just have no fear in that. But I found that, oh, wow, I actually do have a lot of fear in being this physical thing. Like, I need to tend to my physical stuff more rather than just spending all the time preparing for when I'm going to be a non-physical, because the non-physical is coming no matter what. You're going to go in that pool, and if it's a warm pool or a cold pool, eventually you're going to be just fine floating around in that pool like a jellyfish. And before then, you have to make sure that, you know, you pay for the ticket into the rec center pool. Of some of these analogies aren't good, but some of them will be good as it goes along.
Yeah, well, 3D is being here in your physical body is more of a scary thing, because it's so tangible and it's so dense here. And it's, everything is felt so deeply, and our thoughts really do create reality. And as we were talking about, you know, we're becoming aware of the fact that we have some trouble controlling our thoughts, not saying that we're not getting better. We totally are. And I think, you know, we, all of us listening, are on the leading edge of that, but, you know, it's a practice and we're getting better at it. And, that's, I think, why it's a little scarier, because you already know that when your non-physical self is perfection and beauty and is pure light. And so it's the process of bringing that light and that understanding that we are pure light here into the physical, and living here in the physical, knowing that we're pure light. Because when we do that, that's when we are going to be living heaven on earth, literally.
Yeah. And it's already all here. We're just not, tuned into it yet. But much like with the song that you can pick up on the radio is always playing on that channel, it's just about tuning into it. And are you familiar with Victor Wooten, the bass player who has the book called The Music Lesson, A Spiritual Guide to Music? So he offers some really good insights into understanding music and how it relates to life. And the point that I'm thinking about right here is there's only 12 notes. And of those 12 notes, like, you know, when you look at a piano, you have seven white keys, and you have five black keys before it's the next octave. You're familiar with that, right? You work with music, all those things.
Yes. Okay, yes, good. I played piano.
And of any key signature, there's going to be, if you guess, there's seven out of 12 notes that are going to be right, and there's going to be five that are wrong in that key signature. So if you guess the note, if you're improvising, and you if you just guess it, you're more likely to get it right than you are to get it wrong. And if you get it wrong, you're never more than a half step to the right or to the left from being at the right note. So if you screw up, it's not like, oh, I screwed up, I'm miles and miles away from home. You're only just a half step in either direction from being back in tune. So even when it's all wrong, it's all right. You can always just get right back on the horse. And music has such, just music theory especially, is just so intimidating. You have to understand all these different, you know, wheels and notes and symbols and stuff. And it's so intimidating. But music it's a universal language. It's understood all around the world. Like, it's not the way that hand signals. Like, if you give someone the middle finger here, it's of course offensive. It's saying fuck you. And then if you're doing it somewhere else, it means, oh, thank you. It means I love you and I care for your family and you're one of me. Or like, thumbs up is offensive some other places. But music, it's not like that at all. It's understood deeply within you. And,
because it's pure vibration, right? Like, and it's like, you know, I've heard it said it's the quickest way actually to change your vibration. If you're looking to, you know, elevate yourself, it's like, if you can find a song that's within the range you're at, but like on the upper range, like something that's why, you know, when you go to see a DJ, or back in the day, at least, you know, when I used to go see DJs, and I worked, I managed DJs. You know, one of my producers that I managed would always get really anxious if, he didn't have enough time to prepare for a set. And I would be like, why? Like, I didn't get it. He'd be like, because you don't understand, like, you need to take them where they are, like from where the person before me played. And then you need to slowly take them up. And at the time I remember being like, dude, like, you're fine. You know how to do this. Just play. And now I get what he's saying, because knowing what I know about vibration, it's like you do need to take people where they are and then slowly take them up, and then you could take them to a really high place and it's really impactful. Whereas if you're just kind of all over the place and you're not gauging the vibe at all, it's like you're not, it feels very discordant. So it's interesting about music, and I love that about music, because it's so transformative in that way when you're kind of like on a journey with it.
I'm on board with him, but devil's advocate, in that same Victor Wooten book, the spiritual guide friend of his named Michael, who is teaching him all this stuff, the Victor character, is going to sit in with him on a jam one day on guitar with this other band, and the other, I guess, bass player, saxophone player, guitar player, basically the other musicians are looking at this guy who's just sitting there meditating and asking him, aren't you going to practice? The gig is in 30 minutes. And then he just looks at them and says, like, you need to practice because you only play with your fingers. I play with my whole being, and every single moment up in this to this point is a preparation for the next one. And he goes on to just completely blow everyone away and be in complete sync with it. And then they apologize for having criticized his method. But everyone's got a method. Like, didn't Maya Angelou need to go into a motel or hotel room and have no phone or anything and just lock all the doors and be by herself? Like, we develop these weird quirks to tune back into what source it is. So
it's whatever you believe, you know. It's whatever you, everyone has their own process, because it's whatever they believe gets them into the zone, right? And it's like but just what you were talking about reminds me of, you know, the band Phish, like PH. So they like notoriously talk about how when they play, like they're basically saying that they're in the vortex with each other, that they're in a totally different dimension, like playing, where it's not even, they're not thinking, they're just literally a cooperative component with each other in like a group mind, is how they always describe it. And that's why so many people are like Phish heads and like so dedicated to that band when they were touring, because I think that's why. It's because like they tune into something higher and they bring it down just by basically allowing it to channel through them together in a group.
They wouldn't have the following if it wasn't. Really, I mean, they're not, it's like really One Direction. Like, I mean, they're not the worst looking dudes, but they're not like the handsome, like sexy dudes. People are going there for actual music and actual connection. And there's something to be gained by the sexiness too. I'm not judging the sexiness of pop and stuff like that. I enjoy malls sometimes. I enjoy sitting in the woods with a fire and having no capitalism kind of stuff going on. I enjoy also going to the big capitalism monolith place and just seeing that.
Yeah. Well, I just realized we never even finished our idea.
Oh yeah, so the book, what we both are talking about, and interrupt me if you want, and I'm getting this wrong, but just there's so much good information that's been in the podcast over these last few years. And when did it start? Has it been going 4 years? 4 years? We can go look.
I think it's 4 years.
The way
I'm not
the game
actually positive,
and
but
how
I think
Brandon's
4 years.
Gamified it, which is just like spin it like a Price is Right wheel, and then just stop at whatever episode that you want to pick. Like, you're picking a card, and then if you play that, it's going to be resonating with you on something very specific to you in this moment of your life. It's going to be like a synchronicity that you make, and to make a book version of that where you can do it not just in the audio form, but you can have visuals to take it in, because that's a quicker path to the audio. Audio is really good because then you can do other stuff while you're doing it. But if you're just trying to get out of bed and you need that one little boost that you flip to, it's something that you can understand immediately. And
yeah, and something tangible that you can have. Like, we have this idea for like these physical books, you know. Ramin, like he said, he has his own publishing company and he's put out several of these books already. And, you know, he and I have already discussed like several kind of different ideas for types of books, and different themes of books and different, and even utilizing these books to, you know, we had this one idea about utilizing this book to kind of jump your vibration. So you pick up on the book kind of at whatever vibrational level you're at, and it'll be this ascending, vibrational story type of thing. And you know, it can kind of guide you through raising your vibration, or, you know, like he's saying, taking like the ideas that Brandon shares and taking and just putting them into kind of a visual format, so that, you know, we can take these ideas with us, we can give them as gifts to people. And so I think, you know, if you guys, Ramin, is your, what's your Instagram again? It's at Ramin Nazer. Is that right? So
correct.
Yeah.
Yep. R-A-M-I-N-N-A-C-E-R.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this right now, go check out his Instagram, where he posts these amazing, you know, images, like little quotes and things that he puts into these really cool images. And he also makes really awesome animations. And check it out. And after you listen to this, let us know in the Facebook group if you think that's a good idea or if you have ideas. Because I initially, like when I came to this in meditation, I was like, oh, this can be a collaborative project with all the positive heads, like with all the P heads, like we can all contribute to this in some way with our ideas and make something physical, like a physical product here. And Brandon, I hope you like this idea, because we're putting it out there right now, but I think you will.
Oh yeah. And it's whatever, yeah. You know,
if it's not meant to be.
Yeah, we got to just go on the record saying both you and I will not be offended or put off or anything by anything if this isn't. We're just ideas shooting around. And to be honest, we're sharing the initial seed phases of, so let's say, worst case scenario for the book, not for us, but for the book, is that it just doesn't become, it just doesn't ever exist. That's the worst case. It stays in the non-physical. Best case scenario for it is it becomes physical in this dimension. And we have a trace of its lineage of back when it was a seed, and its seed was on the phone with you and I, and it's on this podcast.
Yes.
So people are witnessing it as a seed, and then they'll get to see it grow, and then it becomes a thing, and it can be a testament as to how seeds make everything. And, you know, a single seed could make the whole world green, as a wise somebody once said.
Yep.
I know you really got to nail it and all the other stuff has to happen too, but really you just need the one seed. You don't even need a whole pack of the seeds.
Totally. I mean, I already, it's funny because when I messaged you, you were like, cool. You said something like, oh, awesome. I manifested this or something like me when I reached out to you about the book.
I thought of when I found this podcast, there is just so many episodes where I'm just scribbling on a sketchbook while I'm listening to it. It's like, okay, remember, you know, Chris Jackson episode 49 minutes, 35, like go back and listen to that. And I never go back through my sketchbooks. And when I do, I never stop there and then go, okay, go look that up. It's just too many little micro actions that I have to perform to get back to that place. So eventually I was thinking that since I have been reached out to before to collaborate with other people on making apps and making coloring books and stuff, I thought like, oh, that'd be cool if I got to do something with Brandon Beecham. That would be really cool. I like his vibe. I like his rap. I think that we'd do a good thing together. And so that was where I came from when you reached out to me from Positive Head. I was like, yes, I manifested it.
Yeah.
Manifested it. I didn't.
You did.
Because I didn't actually reach out. It just happened.
Yeah, you did. No, and that was so awesome to hear too. Like it's totally, all of this is just so synchronous and just feels so right. And man, I think you and Brandon have to get in a room together, because I feel like you and Brandon would just go on for days and days and days.
I really want to have him on my podcast. So putting that out there too, if I haven't put out too much stuff out there already. But this is P-Head Posse. It's all about putting the stuff out there. Hey, P-Head Posse, I hope it's going okay with you today. Just a little bit of extra light right here. That's the sound light makes. Super low frequency.
I thought it was like,
I guess light can make any sound. That's one plug-in on light, but light can make any sound it wants. It's light. It's eternal. It can move faster than anything. It's literally the frame rate of this reality we're in, light speed.
Absolutely.
We're made of it.
Yep.
We figured out how to make it with other stuff around us. We found out how to make it with sticks and with LEDs and by playing with electricity.
Isn't it crazy that light is the only thing, like we create light out of nothing. Like there's nothing that, where am I going with this? Just like fire is kind of, fire is kind of actually insane if you think about it. Like we, like what, we strike two things together and suddenly there's a flame. There's like a whole, it's like a living energy just like is manifested. It's kind of like magic if you think about it. It's really wild.
Yeah, after a certain point, after it catches, once it gets going, once that emergent property is there. Did we already talk about emergent properties and how once enough of things come together, like one water molecule, you don't have wetness, but you have a billion water molecules and then you all of a sudden have wetness and that kind of thing?
No.
Well,
let's end on this. This is like a, go ahead. Oh, I'm interested. Well,
what I'm thinking with this is, and this might be going back to Bruce Lipton stuff, but how there's 7, maybe there's 8 billion people right now, and you can't make a big whatever thing we're all growing into next with just a few tribes of people. We had to kind of have this overpopulation thing happen before we evolved to that next level of all taking care of each other and being the Earth Gaia consciousness made up of every individual on Earth who gets to retain their individuality. So you're not just becoming part of a mindless Borg blob. You get to keep what it is that is you, but also get to be part of the big whole that takes care of itself, much like your body takes care of the whole body. If your liver is hurt, the rest of your body doesn't say, no, this is my wealth. I'm going to keep it for myself. The rest of you comes together to fix the part of you that's broken. And then there's a reserve of energy in your body. So no one gets more than until everyone has what they need. And I know that sounds like a very just socialist rant or type of thing, but it's not about that. It's more about, I guess it kind of is, but it's more about the way things are going and changing and the eternal power of love that takes us to the next level again and again and again and again. And to quote the, what's her name? Esperanza Spalding. There are no perfect amends here. We just get to just keep getting on. One more time. All right, from the start. There are no perfect amends here. We just to get just keep on getting there. Yeah, I sang it really terribly and I quoted it wrong. But yeah, there are no perfect amends here. You just get to keep on getting there.
Does that mean what do you mean by amends? Like, nope.
It's never perfect. We're always moving. Nature doesn't stand still. Even when you find something perfect, something else is going to happen. But you can continue to evolve to higher and higher and higher realms of consciousness. And there's no cap on it. You can grow forever.
If you believe that things are finite, then you're always going to look at things as being imperfect. But if you know that things are constantly evolving and that you can constantly ascend to the next level, then it's always perfect all the time.
Exactly. Right? Hit the nail on the head.
Yes, we did it. Well, we got to end it there. I hit the nail on the head. That never happened. So.
Sure it does. See how you feel when you say that? Oh, one more thing. I know that you got to get out of here, but do you find yourself like sometimes thinking like, oh man, if Abraham was in the room, which they are in the room, but if they were on a room connected,
what would they would admonish me right now.
Like you think that, oh, so many of these sentences, they would have stopped us right there and given us this way of doing it. But
they would have climbed our tree, as they like to say, which I love. They're like, you know, we're going to climb your tree over that. I love when they say that. Absolutely. But you know, we're doing a better and better job every day. As you just said, there are no perfect amends. Got to keep on keeping on. I don't know.
I didn't say right either. It's telephone.
Great. It's a whole new quote now. Ramin, this was amazing. Do you have anything like one of the best conversations ever. I think we should do it more often.
Yeah.
And Brent, yeah, well, we'll definitely discuss that for sure, because we're going to be keeping in touch. But do you have any anything else you want to, you know, any websites or anything you want to promote before we get out of here?
My website is rainbowbrainskull.com, and it's got all my books, all my games, all my cards, and everything that I make art-wise and book-wise. And everything is free, too. Like, if you want to read the books, I have it all there that you can look at for free. But if you want to own the physical stuff, I sell those on there. And yeah, if you want to support local awesome. Struggling artists out, then you can support me in that way. But also, if you don't have the money to spend, it's all there for you to just look at too. And I hope everything is going all right with you, listener, and that today is a good day, and that I provided some kind of good thoughts for you and good things, and that's it.
You know, you absolutely did. I can speak for everyone. I know people are gonna just love this one, because I love this one, and I love you so much.
He loves
and
you.
Yes. Thanks, Ramin. Hope you have
too.
A blessed
day. Bye, P-heads.